Hi, my name is Amanda Morehouse and I'm from Clearly Training. And over the next session of this AAT podcast, I'm going to be looking at three key areas to help address managing finance teams through change and uncertainty. But before we get into that, I'd like you to grab a pen and some paper to enable you to jot down some of the ideas and suggestions I'm going to be giving you over the next 20 or so minutes. I'm sure you can do that, can't you? So why do finance professionals need to be able to manage change? Well, think about it. What's your value to your organisation? Are you paid to keep things the same as they've always been? Or are you now expected to improve processes, enhance service, and change fundamentally the way that your organisations and businesses run? It's ironic, isn't it, that the only thing that is certain is the need for change. And why is this the case in 2010? Well, I call it the three C's. We've got clients and customers whose expectations are getting higher and higher. The second is that we are working in a very competitive marketplace. And therefore, if we don't change the way that our businesses run and the way that finance add value, it's likely that there's the risk that our competitors will do that before us. The third C is that of computers, and computers are driving and enabling us to change at a faster rate. Technology is very much an enabler. It doesn't actually give a business benefit in itself, but it helps us to do things in different ways. So, why should anyone want to be led by you? Because at the end of the day, finance teams are changed. They are motivated to change, usually through the intervention of one manager and a conversation with a manager. So can you think of a person who has motivated you to want to make some changes in your finance department? What is it that you saw them doing? What did you hear them saying? And how did they make you feel? Because if we can engage with finance professionals so that they want to make changes, that things will become so much easier for you as a finance manager. So back to that question, why should anyone want to be led by you? So now that you've had some time to think about it, what is it that you bring to the finance team? It's not what the finance team can do for you, but of course what you can do for your finance team. And if we want to engage people, then we have to behave in a way that they want to be led by us. So what are the key characteristics? And I'd like you to write them down on that piece of paper of why should people want to be led by you. Now, very recently, I was watching The Godfather 2, and one thing that I heard Al Pacino say of one thing that he'd learned from his father, Marlon Brando, is the key thing is to see things through the other person's perspective and to get to know the other person's perspective and to anticipate it. And essentially, in this question, why should anyone want to be led by you? It's understanding the other person's perspective and perception of the world. And the first thing that I'd be asking you to do is to think about who are your key stakeholders, the people that you really need to influence to be able to make changes and to manage people through change. And stakeholders are groups of people with similar interests and similar levels of power. Stakeholders are groups of people with similar interests and similar levels of power in influencing whether your change in the finance department is going to be a success or not. So if we can put ourselves in the shoes of our stakeholders and see things through their eyes, this is going to enable us to anticipate what the different levels of resistance may be, or perhaps what the different levels of concerns are going to be. In also looking at our stakeholders, it's anticipating what changes we need them to implement. And is it physical changes in processes and systems, or is it in their values and beliefs? Now, looking at these stakeholder groups, they are going to have different levels of power and interest over the success in which we implement changes. And it's good to be able to group them and to prioritise which stakeholders are going to have a higher impact. These are what I call our key players, high level of interest and high degree of power. And if we were thinking of the amount of time that we need to allocate in our change plan to ensure that we engage this group, these are the people that are going to need most of the time as far as communicating, engaging, and motivating to get them to buy into any change. Now, how we communicate with these groups of stakeholders is going to be key. And the messages that we give have got to be given in a way that is meaningful to them. And the one thing that is for certain is that the majority of people will think very differently to yourself. And if we want to be an agent for change and to motivate other people, then we have to exhibit the maximum degree of flexibility in the way that we can communicate. Now, what I'd like to do in this section of why should anyone want to be led by you is to look at the aspects of enabling you to create rapport, trust, and openness with people within the finance team and people that interface with it. And to do this, I am going to ask you the question that in any conversation, who is responsible for the outcome from that conversation? If it's you with another person, does the responsibility lie 50-50 between you and the other person? Or is it weighted differently? And the underlying assumption of what I'm going to tell you is that you have the power and control to not only take responsibility for the outcome, but also to take responsibility for how they respond to the changes that you're suggesting to them. Because if we work on this assumption, this gives you 100% of the control. So to enable us to take full responsibility, we have to have the ability to communicate at all different levels. And this is what I'm going to be showing you how to do next. So in preparing this relationship to ensure that people want to be led by you, there's four key criteria. Number one is rapport. Secondly is state of mind. Thirdly are the language patterns that you use. And fourthly is the body language. Most of what we communicate is at an unconscious level. And it's the unconscious mind picking up the signals and the clues of why it should trust you. And trust is key in managing change and uncertainty, isn't it? So the first thing that we need to be consciously aware of is our body language and watching and observing the other person to ensure that we can match and mirror, i.e. we can copy different aspects of their body language, from the posture to their facial expressions to the quickness of the breath. And these are all things to watch for. The second that we can match and mirror are the language patterns, because 40% of the population are visual. 20% show a preference towards auditory information, and 40% are kinesthetic. What something feels like to them to enable them to get to grips is essential to them to know that your change is going to make sense. So looking at the way that we sound and the way that we construct our language patterns is key to the unconscious mind knowing that it can trust your suggestions and to motivate it to want to change. Visual, auditory, and kinesthetic language. Visual language patterns are patterns that enable the mind to construct a picture. And if somebody says to you, "I just don't see what you're saying," what they're asking for is more visual information. In fact, it might be easier to show them a picture and to draw a process map of how the change is going to look so they can take a perspective on it. Auditory language patterns give the unconscious mind the sound that they can really hear what it is that you want to say. And kinesthetic language enable people to get to grips and get a real handle on what it is that you're suggesting to them. Okay, the third is state of mind. If you want people to be motivated and inspired to want to make changes in finance, then you have to be that role model. You are probably the most important aspect of any change process. Because we know, don't we, people that we've been inspired by are usually energetic, enthusiastic, and inspiring to be around. So we have to be conscious of the way that we're presenting ourselves to other people, and having that positive state of mind is key. The fourth aspect on building rapport is to show the other person that in some way you are like them. And one very powerful way of doing this is to listen and to paraphrase back. And what I mean by paraphrasing is literally reading back the words and the way that the words have been presented back to the person that originally spoke them. What the unconscious mind picks up is that you are using the same words as them. In fact, you are on their wavelength. In fact, you are somebody very much that they can trust. So paraphrasing is an extremely useful technique in enabling somebody to answer the question, why should they be led by you?